Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Yo, yo, welcome to another episode of the Forum Club. I'm your host, Jovan Buha, Lakers beat writer for The Athletic. And the Lakers season is over. They lost game six at home to the Phoenix Suns, 113-100, to lose in the first round in six games, a premature ending that I don't think anybody saw coming, even as recently as a few days ago when the Lakers held a 2-1 series advantage. And we're up by 11 points in that second quarter. It looked like they were in complete control of that series. As Frank Vogel said today, they had supreme confidence at that point. And that was even with Anthony Davis lumbering up and down the floor. And of course, later in that game, he injured his groin, had to leave the game. And from that point on, things were not the same. And before I get into a quick evaluation of the season and the series and the offseason, I first want to say thank you to all of our loyal listeners and people who responded to the pod, people who asked questions for the open forum section, and just all the feedback we got this year from Bill, Anthony, and myself. We can't thank you enough. And on a personal note from me, I just want to thank everybody for embracing me from making the transition from the Clippers to the Lakers. And really from day one, Laker Nation embraced me with open arms. And I can't thank everybody enough for the positive feedback, the commenting on my articles on The Athletic, retweeting my tweets. Of course, any tweets and sharing about the podcast. So thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you guys so much for interacting. I tried to get back to everybody. I know it's kind of impossible. Sometimes I'll send out a tweet and get, like 20 replies, and it's just hard sometimes to reply to all those. But I do try, I do see everything. I read everything and I appreciate it. And genuinely just want to say that I wouldn't be in this position without you guys. And I can't thank you enough. I appreciate it. And I hope this relationship continues to grow. I want to do more Q&As and mailbags next season. I think that's something that I'm really interested in. And just with the condensed nature of this season, with me trying to acclimate on a new beat, it wasn't as feasible. But I think next season, with a more normal and spaced out schedule, and with me feeling more acclimated, I think that's something we could definitely work in. Maybe once a week, once every other week. I'm not really sure, but that's something that you should be on the lookout for. But let's get into it, because I think where I want to start is macro, how we view the season. I think this season, it's hard not to look at it as a disappointment, but I think I view it as a disappointment for a different reason than some might. I think in a binary sense, it's a disappointment because the Lakers did not win a championship. And whether they lost in the first round, the conference finals, the finals, didn't make the playoffs, like for the Lakers, this organization, this roster, it's championship or bust. It's you either win the championship or it was a failure of a season. Now, I do think losing in the first round is on the lower end of outcomes and possibilities, right? It's basically the only worst way would have been losing in the play-in or not making the playoffs. So it was pretty down there in terms of potential outcomes for the season. But, would it be much better if they lost in the finals? Like, I think it would be just as upsetting to fans. Maybe it wouldn't be as bad. But I think for me, where it's disappointing is the context of the season, that LeBron and AD miss 63 games. AD only missed one playoff game, but essentially missed three playoff games. And we just never saw this team fully healthy or what they could do with a whole roster. And really, the first time we saw them fully healthy was that Golden State game. And that, you know, it's just going into a play-in setting and then going into the playoffs with your team healthy for the first time. I just don't know. I mean, it can work. You know, I look back at like that Warriors team with KD. Could they have maybe done that? Maybe. But, you know, that was a group with four All-Stars, not two. And maybe there have been some teams with enough talent to overcome these odds. I think the Lakers were pushing it, right? I mean, they did give, you know, they were up 2-1 in the series. I think if AD doesn't go down, they probably still win the series. And then I think are heavily favored over Denver and then make a conference finals run and are probably favored over Utah or the Clippers or Dallas, whoever comes out of that side of the bracket. And then are underdogs in the finals, I would say, against Brooklyn or Milwaukee or Philly, but would definitely have a shot in a finals series. So it did feel like this was going to, this honestly was probably going to be their toughest round in the West in terms of just quality of opponent. Dennis and Frank both said this today at exit interviews that they felt like this was a conference finals matchup in the first round. And I do agree with that. I was high on Phoenix all season. I didn't realize they were this good. I was super impressed, especially with Devin Booker in games 5 and 6. Just really took his game to a different level, took it up a notch. But I think the disappointment stems more from the what if nature of the season of what if LeBron and AD were healthy or healthier. And I think, you know, if they miss 20 games instead of 63 combined games, this team has home court advantage. This team is a 2 or 3 seed probably. Maybe they're the 3 seed just with the distance that Utah and Phoenix had. But people forget they were 21-6 when AD went down. They were still tied for the 2 seed. I mean, they were a half game out of the 1 seed when AD went down. So they're the 2 seed right behind Utah. And they were tied for the 2 seed when LeBron went down. And that was in late March. So, I mean, really, 3 months into the season, they were still a top 2 seed. And that was with AD missing over a month because he had also missed a few games earlier in the season. So had those guys stayed relatively healthy, we're talking about a completely different season where this team is a top 4 seed, if not top 2 or 3. And I think they definitely beat Portland, Memphis, whoever on that lower half of the bracket, they beat that. I mean, I guess let's say you make them the 3 seed. So you push Denver to 4, Clippers to 5, Dallas to 6. I guess they'd be playing Dallas in this scenario. I think they beat Dallas or Portland probably in 5 games, maybe 6. And we're just talking about a completely different outcome and projection for this season. But they played maybe the West favorite right now. Maybe like when all teams are fully healthy, the second best team in the West. And they gave them a run for their money. They were up 2-1 again. But they also had an unfortunate injury. And I think the gap without AD was bigger than I thought it was, but it still was like, had AD not, you know, had we been entering the series and we were told AD is going to miss half the series, I think most people would have favored Phoenix or put this as like a 7-game series. Maybe the Lakers can win in 7 if AD can be back for game 7. But AD was clearly a shell of himself from game 4 on, could barely move in game 6.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The disappointment for me stems more from the what if nature of we'll never know what this team could have done healthy. And I think those are the worst losses. This wasn't a situation where LeBron and AD were both healthy and they just lost to a team that was had more talent, was better coached, whatever. Like, yes, you have to give Phoenix a lot of credit. They rose to the occasion. I think Devin Booker took a step from all-star level to all NBA level and really, you know, kind of like all NBA second team level. Like he was playing like that type of guy for multiple games in this series. DeAndre Ayton played his most consistent basketball of the season. Chris Paul wasn't even healthy for basically the entire series. So you got to give, you know, Monty Williams, I thought, coached a great series. I do think he did a nice job against Frank Vogel. Like, you got to give Phoenix their credit, but this was not a full strength Lakers team. And I think the Lakers would take a full strength Chris Paul if it also meant a full strength LeBron James and Anthony Davis in this matchup. So I think that's where my disappointment stems from, more so than anything. I do think it was nice to see Frank Vogel finally make the adjustment of starting Marc Gasol in game six. It was also nice to see him go to the small ball lineup. That was something we had talked about a little bit on the podcast of going Keefe at the five, LeBron at the five, Kuz at the five. They tried that. That brought them back in the second half. They made multiple runs, got it as low as 10, were never able to get over the hump. The one thing I'll say about game six, you know, Phoenix came out and landed a bunch of haymakers. They hit six early threes to give themselves a nice cushion. The one thing I would say disappointed, discouraged by from the Lakers side was just the lack of fight in the first half. I felt there was a clear shift in energy, effort, and just execution in the second half versus the first half. And the way they came out, especially about midway through that third quarter when they shifted to the small ball unit, had they done that, and they actually went to the small ball unit towards the end of the first half. It was around like the four, 3.5 minute mark of the second quarter. They took Mark out and they put Keefe in and went with the small group. And it was like, had we seen that in the first half, the full court ball pressure, the trapping around half court of Devin Booker, the rotating and everybody protecting the rim and gang rebounding and all those things, I think they are able to withstand that initial, you know, flurry of haymakers from Phoenix, and they're able to cut that deficit lower earlier in the game. But KCP said it after the game. He's like, we waited too long to give that full maximum effort, and we did a good job of fighting. We fought till the end. We never gave up. But I do think had they had that second half effort in the first half, I'm not saying they win the game, because I think the type of night Devin Booker was having, you know, 47 points, like he was just on a different level. And clearly LeBron was still not himself. I mean, I think that was very clear from this series. But I think I would have liked to have seen more effort from the Lakers in that first half. And it felt like they got demoralized early. They came out with all this juice and energy. The building was buzzing. Everybody was excited. I thought it was certainly the best home Staples Center crowd that we had seen all season. And granted, it had been, you know, a month and a half of crowds, but still. The season was on the line, and they showed up. And I thought that gave the team energy for the first couple of minutes. And then it was like, Jay Crowder hits a three. Devin Booker hits a couple threes. Jay Crowder hits another couple threes. Devin Booker hits a three. And all of a sudden, they're down by 20 points in the first quarter. And they look shell-shocked. They look ready to go home. And I thought progressively gave better effort in the second quarter, and then that transferred into the second half. But for me, it was just the lack of just effort and execution, especially defensively, which to me was the biggest difference. Like, yes, they hit shots, and that's kind of out of your control, though I do think defense leads to offense. But to me, it was that defensive effort that they didn't really have in game five, and then kind of didn't have for half to more than half of game six, which was disappointing. But I think now the attention turns to the offseason, and this team can have, they have 8 free agents. They can have upwards of 10 free agents, and really could have 11 guys potentially leaving, with Marc Gasol being the 11th. As last summer, there were the rumors of him either retiring or going back to Spain to play. And I think you're going to hear those rumors again. And so right now, the Lakers have 5 guys on their roster: LeBron, AD, Mark, Kuz, and KCP. And 6, technically, if you include their first-round draft pick. So the 10 guys that are free agents are, you know, the rest of the roster, but quickly, Dennis, Alex, Talen, Wes, Andre, Keefe, Alfonso McKinney, if they waive his non-guaranteed contract, Jared Dudley, Trez, if he opts out of his player option, and I am blanking on the other guy who, let me quickly check here, who's the last guy that is the free agent that I'm blanking on? Ben McLemore. That's the other guy. So those are their 10 free agents. And I mean, look, that's two thirds of the team are free agents potentially. So, I mean, going through them quickly, like Andre, I think, I don't know what his market value is, but I you know, the most they could offer him, I believe, is the mid-level exception around like nine-ish million, something like that. And I've been on record. I'm not the biggest Andre Drummond fan. I mean, I thought it was telling that he got benched in game six and didn't even play. Montrezl Harrell played over him as well as Mark starting over him. So I would be surprised if Drummond's back, but you know, the Lakers have talked about him being a piece of the future in the core. So maybe Alex, I think, is going to be someone they prioritize, but he's going to have a market. You know, I think Alex actually will probably have the most competitive market maybe of anybody on the roster, just because I think he's proven he can be the third guard on pretty much any team and play a critical role as, you know, one either your backup shooting guard or your backup point guard and do a pretty good job. And I think we haven't fully seen his point guard chops because of Dennis and LeBron and AD, but I think Alex can run a second unit. I do not think he's a starting level point guard. I don't think you want him running your offense in crunch time, but I do think he can help run a second unit. And we did see that at times this season. So for me, Alex would be the priority guy.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Talen's another one where we had exit interviews today. I felt he didn't have the most reassuring. If you're a Laker fan and you hear his comments, they were not the most reassuring in terms of him staying. It was very like, I haven't thought about it. I'm going to let my representation handle it. Like, and almost talking at a couple times about the Lakers in the past tense. So I know the Lakers are high on him. They obviously drafted him. It's a prospect that they are excited about keeping. But you know, I didn't think Talen's comments were very reassuring, but he's another guy who will probably get some type of poison pill, Gilbert Arenas type contract where teams try to backload it, and it'll be interesting to see if the Lakers match that or how they feel about that. Ben, I think, you know, it showed he just wasn't part of the rotation in the playoffs. It was really him and Trez were the two guys that Frank clearly was kind of out on for the most part. So I don't think Ben's probably back, but maybe with the clutch connection. Wes said he wants to come back, wants to run it back. I think Wes is probably back somewhere in that vet minimum or biannual exception range. Jared Dudley wants to be back, he said, and he thinks the Lakers need him back. So I guess it's really going to come down to what other moves happen on the roster. If it is a depth thing, I could see them not bringing back Jared or maybe making him an assistant coach or assistant GM or something. But I think the Lakers did kind of waste some of their end of roster spots, and they corrected it with the Quinn Cook moves, but or move and you know, like they sort of addressed that. But I think every roster spot's valuable, and I don't know, for as important as Jared is to the locker room, I don't think it's great to have a guy you don't trust to play in a playoff series, and he clearly was not at that level. Mark, he's a wild card. I don't know what to expect with him. I guess theoretically he should be back, but it's really just what does he want to do? And he also at times today sounded like a guy who might be out. Trez to me sounded like a guy who's going to be out, which is interesting because he has that $9 million player option. And I don't know if Trez's value is at $9 million right now. I mean, it's now back-to-back teams that, you know, one team kind of exposes playoff shortcomings in the Clippers, and then clearly didn't value him enough to re-sign him. And another team, the Lakers, basically bench him for an entire series. So this is the lowest of Trez's market value. And to me, I just don't, he just doesn't seem like a playoff player. So I think maybe a team talks themselves into him as a fan favorite, a guy that is going to work hard, maybe raise your regular season ceiling or floor, but not really a guy you can trust in the playoffs. Dennis continues to say conflicting things. He said he wants to be back, but it's got to be fair. It's got to be a fair value. And he just wants to enjoy his free agency process, test free agency. But he wants to be back and he wants another shot at a title. So it sounds like Dennis is going to be back, but I don't, you know, he's a guy who I think played himself out of that $20 million range. He to me is a $14 to $16 million player annually. And I don't know if he's going to go for that, at least with the Lakers. So we'll see with Dennis. I'm leaning more towards him probably not being back, but we'll see. Alphonso McKinney, I think they're going to waive that non-guaranteed contract. And Keith, I think it's someone that they could bring back on a vet min deal. I think he's been okay. He did have some success in the Phoenix series, you know, defensively in some of these smaller lineups, but did not shoot the ball well. And that's really the only thing with him that would be my hesitation is if you're going to have a stretch big, they got to be able to shoot the ball. But those are my quick thoughts on the rundown of who's going to be a free agent and some early thoughts on it. But I will be back next week and every week after with our weekly show. I'll probably be doing another show once or twice a week with other guests or by myself. So be on the lookout for that. But I just wanted to quickly talk about the season, game six, the upcoming offseason, and some quick thoughts on that. But I got to go right, so I'm going to go do that. But I appreciate you guys so much for listening. Thank you again for such a great season. I know it didn't end the way that you guys wanted, but look, they have LeBron, they have AD, you have those two healthy, I think you can beat anybody. So it's just about finding the right pieces around them. I think some of those pieces are on this roster. I think some of those pieces are going to be in free agency or a trade. I think they got to modernize the center rotation and they have to add more shooting. And those are really the two things for me that they got to address this summer. But thank you guys again. Can't say thank you enough. As always, you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok at Jovan Buha, JOVANBUHA. If you've not subscribed to this podcast, you can do so on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you've not subscribed to The Athletic, you can do so by going to theathletic.com or subscribing off of my Twitter account. Would be much appreciated. Thank you guys again, and I will talk to you soon.